the cost of discipleship. It's what our gospel is particularly about. Also, we get it from Deuteronomy and Psalm 1 and, to some degree, Philemon, which, by the way, that is the entire book of Philemon, except for a couple of verses. In 1937, in Germany, a young Lutheran pastor by the name of Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote a book called The Cost of Discipleship. And in this book, it was basically he was calling people to be more faithful and radical in their obedience to following Jesus Christ. And he gave a severe rebuke to what he called comfortable Christianity. During the time he was writing this book, he was a teacher of an underground seminary. The Nazi Party had basically told all the pastors and churches of the land that, in essence, Hitler was like the Messiah. He's almost God on earth. It maybe wasn't that strong of language, but it was language enough where some pastors simply couldn't follow that. And one of those pastors was Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And so he was forbidden to preach and to teach. So he started an underground seminary where he illegally taught people the true faith, that faith comes through Christ alone. During this time also, when he was found out and forbidden even to do the underground seminary, he became a member of the Abwehr, which was kind of the German secret service. And as a member, he became a double agent. He used his new position to smuggle some Jews out of the country. He even gave information to Allied forces on the German party, and as a member of the Abwehr, he was involved with an assassination plot against Hitler, all from this German Lutheran pastor. At one point, he found himself in America, and he was about to start a new position at, I think it was Union Theological Seminary, where he could safely teach and preach, and he felt that he was in the wrong place. And just even a few months after being there, he realized that his place was in Germany, in the hostility of World War II and the Nazis. And so he went back to Germany knowing full well that he probably would not live. And eventually he was arrested for his involvement in the conspiracies against Hitler, and he was then hanged. At one point, historians thought that his hanging was a very peaceful thing, but it's since been learned that the head physician might have sweetened the story to make himself look more innocent, because most likely when Bonhoeffer was hanged, he was hanged for a while to the point of almost being dead. Then they took him down, and this doctor would revive him, and then they'd hang him again, and they'd do this a few times till finally he died. Of all people, Dietrich Bonhoeffer knows what it means, knows the cost of discipleship, of following Jesus. He preached against people who did not repent, who would go to church but not be disciplined in their following Christ. People who would take communion without confessing their sin. People who were not disciples of Christ. What does it mean to be a disciple of Christ? What does it mean to be a disciple in general? A disciple is a person who follows another person and follows them so closely that they would like to become like that person. Maybe you play guitar, and so you might listen to some other musicians so that you can become better at guitar playing. Maybe you really like Eric Clapton and his style of play, so you listen and you play like Eric Clapton. You learn his music. You would like to become like Eric Clapton, so you become a disciple in that sense. As Christians, we are disciples of Jesus Christ. And so our desire then is to become like Christ in every way. The problem is, there is a real cost to doing that. In our gospel, Jesus turns and looks at this vast crowd of people who are following him. And he wants them to follow him. But they need to know that there is a cost to doing so. And so he tells them three different things about what the cost of following Jesus is. The first of those we get from verse 26. Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even life itself, cannot be my disciple. So, pretty clear words. Verse 27. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. And verse 33 has a little bit of different phrasing, but it's still there. It's basically whoever does not renounce all that one has cannot be my disciple. Jesus lays out a cost of what it means to follow him. And if you call yourself Christian, you follow Jesus. Now, what do these statements mean? The first and the third statement are similar. They're about things on this earth that we could say that we have. We have family. We have friends. We have our own life. We have possessions. And Christ tells us that whatever you have, whoever follows me must be prepared to cast aside all those things that could potentially hold you back, get in your way, present a roadblock for following Christ. Family, friends, or possessions. Jesus isn't teaching here a cloistered life. He's not telling us to go and join a monastery or become a nun, become like Saint Teresa, and give up everything, just live with a couple robes and be happy. He's not telling us to do these things. But again, here Dietrich Bonhoeffer is a good example, because Bonhoeffer had a lot of things. He lived in a family that was well-to-do in Germany. He had a good and very loving family. He was married to a beautiful young woman, but he was prepared to cast them all aside for the sake of living out the gospel. Most of his married life, he didn't get to see his wife because he was behind bars in prison. And because of that, he didn't get to bear children necessarily either. He was prepared to cast those things aside which would hold a person back from following the call of God. Are we as prepared to do the same? To maybe give up the dream of owning that boat or that pickup or expanding the business? Are we prepared to face a family member if they would withhold us from coming to the Lord's table or doing what the Lord would call you to do? This is what Christ calls us to do as his disciples. He also tells us in the second one that whoever does not bear his own cross cannot be my disciple. These are very clear and scary words, because we know the cross means suffering, the cross means death. It is an awful thing. Here's what Luther says on what taking up one's cross is. He says, taking up one's cross is willingly taking on and bearing the hatred of the devil, the hatred of the world, the flesh, sin, death, etc., everything for the sake of the word and faith. Basically, taking up one's cross is giving up everything that is not the word or faith in Christ. These are strong words. Very difficult. Often when we think of taking up one's cross, taking up the way of suffering, you might think of maybe a missionary who's overseas and might undergo the persecution of a local government. And certainly that is, but for us, more commonly, it might be suffering by giving up one's rights for the benefit of the gospel to affect a neighbor in need. Or it might be suffering against temptation, withholding ourselves against our sinful flesh. Taking up the cross might be suffering against the pressures of a world we live in but are not part of. Maybe that means not doing something a friend would want you to do because you know that it goes against God's word and that you might lose that friend. This is what it means to be a disciple. There is a cost to being a Christian. And Jesus says, whoever does not do this cannot be my disciple. And so then, like the people in Christ's parables, we might look at ourselves and we might look at things and wonder, well, do I have what it takes? Am I building a tower that I cannot hope to build? Am I going against an enemy army that I cannot hope to defeat? Am I a king with 10,000 troops going against 20,000? And the answer there is yes. Yes, you are. You are the person who cannot build the tower because you don't have what it fully takes. You are the king that has only 10,000 troops arrayed against an army of 20,000, cannot hope to win. The cost is great. Key to this passage is this phrase Jesus uses of taking up a cross. The only reason we can possibly know what this means is because we know of Jesus and his cross. The only reason we have any meaning to what a cross is because of the cross of Christ. Christ saw a cost to be paid, a cost for you and I. He measured it, and he saw that it was a way of suffering. And so he endured the suffering of Roman soldiers and fellow Jewish people hurling insults and spitting and beating him. He endured the suffering of being nailed to a piece of wood, rising and undergoing the weight of his own body as he went through that awful, awful thing. He endured looking upon the face of his mother, watching her weep as she saw him suffering. He endured death. And he did it for you and I. Jesus Christ paid the cost first and foremost for you and I, that as baptized people, we could have the full measure of his Spirit living within us, empowering us to be people called by him who have died in him and have been raised in him. And so then our call to discipleship becomes a participation then in what He has already done for you. Because He has done this for you, you are empowered to do it for others. You then are blessed because you are the one who is planted by streams of living water. A tree that grows mighty and strong, that can bear much fruit, because you are watered by the Lord Himself. You are given nourishment through His body and His blood. And you are called each Sunday to remember your baptism and strengthened by the word of forgiveness given for you. The cost of discipleship is great, but it was first borne by Jesus Christ, who died for you and calls you now to follow Him. Let us pray. Oh, gracious Lord, we know the cost is great, and we give you thanks for the witness of many saints who have gone before us, people like Bonhoeffer and Mother Teresa, those who have counted the cost, and by strength in you, we're able to pay it. Help also, Lord, to be faithful followers of you and your will, to know what must be done, and to have the strength and your mercy to do it. We pray this in your name. Amen.